Okay, thanks everybody for showing up on an interesting market day. I know it's the end of the day, it's late, especially on the East Coast, and some of you are probably tired, but hopefully we can perk things up a little bit. We're going to be talking about analyzing and strategizing in various commodity markets. I've done a similar presentation for timing research followers. Some of the first couple slides might look familiar, but we're going to get into some recent trading ideas and strategies that we recommended to our clients. Now, obviously, these are for educational purposes. I'm not telling you to go out and do these things, but hopefully they give you some ideas on how to structure option trades, take advantage of market volatility, take advantage of various situations. Because the reality is there's a time and place for everything. Some strategies make sense in certain market conditions and some don't. And there's some gray areas in between, but it's a good idea to be aware of when you should or should not be executing a particular strategy. And of course, we know nobody has a crystal ball, so we're just guessing anyway. But this hopefully will give you some pointers. Anyway, my name is Carly Garner. I am a futures and options broker, and I'm located in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is really fiery hot here in Vegas. People seem to think that that's a big turnoff, but honestly, Vegas is really hot 2 months of the year, but for 10 months out of the year, it's beautiful. So I will never leave. I'm a lifer. If you're on social media, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, a few others, LinkedIn. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, there was my email address. I'll show it again at the end of the class. I do post a lot of dog photos. Some people dislike that. Some people like that. Just real quick, just to give you an idea of who I am. I already mentioned I'm a broker, but I'm also an author. I've written multiple books. I do write a stocks and commodities column monthly. I contribute to Jim Cramer's Mad Money. In fact, actually, I'm going to New York next week. I'll be live in studio on Thursday, so that should be fun. And I contribute to Bloomberg Television relatively often, a couple times a month, probably. And again, we are a brokerage service. Our brokerage clients receive a couple of newsletters that I write multiple times a week with market commentary, analysis, guesses on what may or may not happen, and some trading ideas. And we're going to show you some of those today. Again, I'm not trying to sell you on these ideas. I'm just trying to teach you. That's the goal. And if you like anything that you see today, and you're interested in learning more, these are the three books that I would recommend out of the books that I've written. If you go to Amazon, you're going to see a whole bunch more, and just ignore those. Those are older books, out of print. These are the newest and latest. So with all of that said, before we get started, just want to make sure everyone understands there's substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options. It's not suitable for everybody. It's not suitable for most people, and that's the key. The majority of people either don't have the financial wherewithal or the mental wherewithal to trade futures and options. And that's just unfortunately the reality. So be aware of that before you start digging into this stuff. It is pure speculation. There's no guarantees. It's not investing. So the profits and losses can be supercharged, and they come quick and hard. And not everybody's equipped to handle that. So let's start with why trade options. A lot of people migrate to futures trading because it's simple. The math is easy. It's quick. It's fast. It's exciting. But there's some good arguments for trading options as well. Beginning traders are often turned off by the fuzzy math that comes with option trading. But even though there's a little bit of a learning curve and there's a hurdle there, they are extremely flexible. You can use options to create various types of risk reward prospects. You can pinpoint your speculations and timing and volatility. Generally, option trading comes with less volatility than futures trading outright, but it doesn't always have to be that way. It depends on how you're structuring your trades and what exactly you're doing. I've seen option trading accounts with far more leverage and risk than somebody that's trading futures. So that's just a basic statement. It doesn't always have to be true. If you're going to trade options using spreads or short options, make sure you fully understand what you're doing and the risks, because risk comes fast. There's no memo. It just happens. Options allow traders to have room for error. Option spread traders or premium collectors, they don't have to be perfect in their timing or their speculation. They just have to not be really wrong. And so there's a much smaller burden to be profitable, which it doesn't mean guarantee anything, but it is a little bit easier if you have some room for error. And option traders generally face lower margin and risk. And again, this is a broad statement. It doesn't apply to all option strategies. There are some option strategies that are very, very risky. This is completely off topic, but I'm going to throw it out there. A lot of beginning traders think that selling deep out of the money options in very high quantities is like printing money. And a lot of, you know, for a long stretch of time, it can be, but it's probably the riskiest strategy there is, because what happens is options that you're selling for $50, $80, $100, way out of the money. And let's say a market like crude oil, most of the time they're going to expire worthless. The odds of them expiring in the money are very, 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 very slim. But if you have a whole bunch of them on, you have a very large position size and volatility picks up and it comes quick and fast and hard. Like I said, those options that were worth $10 or let's say $100 one day can be worth several thousand the next day. And just imagine, you know, if you have one or two, not the end of the world. If you have 20, 30, 100 of them, you're going to be in trouble. And so be really mindful of the risk that options can explode and get expensive, even if they never come into the money. Option traders generally have a lower cash outlay. They are, especially spread traders, if you're trading spreads, you're usually using the market's money to finance your trade. And I'm going to show you several ways on how that can that's possible. Time value erosion works against option buyers, but it works in favor of option spread traders or sellers. And we'll show you some examples of that as well. But regardless of whether you choose options or futures, long options, short options, spreads, whatever you're doing, it all comes down to this is really a mental game. And the only way, in my opinion, in my personality, and everybody's different, but for my personality, the best way to keep my wits about me is to make sure that I'm living my life, whether it's my personal finances or trading or whatever it is, investing in a way that's comfortable. If you are taking on too much risk, taking on too much leverage, you are 100% going to make bad decisions. And those bad decisions are can be very devastating to your well-being, both mentally and financially. So for some traders and some market participants, options are a really good way to stay calm in bad times because it takes some of the volatility out of things. It, again, gives you more room for error, so you don't have to be perfect. And hopefully it just slows things down to a point where you as a trader are able to keep your head about you. And again, it's easier said than done. And this goes for both the good and the bad. I'm talking about being humble when things are good and being realistic when things are bad. I have a quote sitting right in front of my monitor on my desk that says, "You are never as smart as you think you are when you're winning, and you're never as dumb as you think you are when you're losing." And I read that every day because we have to make sure that we keep our mind right. Options are building blocks. You can be creative. There is no limit to what you can do with options. You can be aggressive. You can be conservative. You can put together extremely savvy strategies, and you can put together really silly strategies that don't make any sense. You can do anything you want with options. The idea of using options as building blocks is the combinations of long and short calls and puts of various strike prices and expirations can be used in an attempt to achieve a common goal. I'm going to point out expirations there because most people don't realize you can trade a January option against a March option or a November option against a December option. You can spread those between each other and create a strategy with very low risk while using the market's money and very low margin. Most people don't realize that the exchange will give you a break for trading different months, and they do. Now, of course, if you're doing that sort of thing, one option is going to expire before the other, and that creates a whole nother issue. So it's not something you can that will work as planned all the way to expiration of the longest dated option. There's going to be some adjustments involved or some exiting early, but that's okay for most traders. With an option spread, generally the legs are antagonistic, meaning as the market's moving higher, some legs are working, some legs are not working, and vice versa. And that's basically what's happening is there's an inherent hedge built into the option spread. The key is to be creative. There are no rules in option trading. I mean, other than make sure you have the money and the margin to put the trade on, and you're minding your risk. But other than that, you can do anything you want. You can create any spread you want. In my opinion, the goal should, in most situations, the goal is to strive to be cheap. Now, this can mean a couple of things. Sometimes this means waiting for markets to get really quiet and the volatility to get really, really low before you buy options. Or it might mean create a spread in which you're selling options around the option that you want to purchase. Today, we're going to talk about a couple long option strategies, but we're mostly going to talk about very cheap or cost-free trading using creative option spreads. This type of a strategy gives you the ability to get close to the market without spending a lot of money. And this is important because options are priced to lose. So it makes sense to be cheap. If options are priced to lose, meaning more options than not expire worthless, and they're basically a big money pit most of the time, but not all the time, it's generally not a good idea to spend a lot of money on an option. But as we're going to talk about today, nothing in life is free, especially not a free option trade. If you are constructing a trade that's free or very low cost, it means you have unlimited risk and it means you are having to put up margin. So it's not free, it's just low cost, and there's a difference. So we already kind of touched on this. I'll just reiterate, options are priced to lose, so act accordingly. It's generally better to be a net option seller. But if you're going to sell options to pay for long options, be sensible and creative. You don't want to take on risk just to take on risk, or you don't want to put a trade together just because it's free. You want to put a trade together that makes sense. You want to know where your risk is, where it comes in, and make sure that that's suitable to you. So now we're going to look at some examples that I'm pulling straight from the newsletters that we've sent to our clients, just to give you different perspectives on options on futures trading. Now, there's a lot of books out there that talk about option trading. There's very few books that talk about trading options on commodities. I'm only aware of maybe three, and I've written two of them. So there's just not a lot out there. Most people assume that an option is an option, but there's definitely a difference. Commodity options behave a little differently because they're options written on leveraged products, because the underlying futures contract obviously is leveraged. Also, just make sure, can everybody see my screen? You shouldn't see the slideshow anymore. Yep, I think we're good. Okay. It should say DeCarli Perspective at the top. Okay, perfect. All right, just making sure that I wasn't going to lose you here. So options on futures, like I mentioned, it's leverage on leverage. So that can be good or bad. The good is if you're an option buyer and it pays off, it can be wildly, amazingly lucrative. But if you buy an option and nothing happens, that option basically just goes up in pixie dust really quickly. It loses value very quickly and it can be frustrating. So you don't want to always be an option buyer, but there is a time and place. So this is a recommendation we made just a couple of days ago. And by the way, if you want to sign up for a free trial of our newsletter, you can at decarlitraining.com. But in this situation, I don't know if anyone follows Orange Juice. My guess is probably nobody follows Orange Juice. I've been in this business since the early 2000s, and I think I've only made a recommendation in Orange Juice maybe two or three times at the most. It's just not a market that speculators participate in. It's really thinly traded. So I don't recommend selling futures because it's just really dangerous. There's just not a lot of liquidity there, but the options are pretty cheap. We've had this really big run in Orange Juice. We're sitting around all-time highs at roughly 300. Now, there's no guarantee that Orange Juice is going to roll over because it's expensive. But for the last couple of years, we've seen commodities do this. First, it was natural gas, then it was lumber, then it was copper. We've seen all of these commodities boom and bust. And so why not orange juice? The reality is it probably will boom and bust. That's what commodities do, because when prices get high, supply comes to market and it forces the price down. Sometimes it takes longer than others, but that's always been the end result. I can't think of a single renewable commodity or even a commodity like crude oil that isn't necessarily renewable, but it's extracted or mined, that has been able to hold a rally. You could maybe argue gold, but that's maybe about the only one. Commodity rallies are destined to fail. That's just always how it's been. And it's because of supply and demand. So we recommended to our clients to play the downside using a 250 put in November. It was 4 cents at the time of purchase. Honestly, we probably got in a little early. That option, I think, as of today, was going for about 3 cents. And what that means is we paid yesterday, you would have paid, well, 2 days ago when we first got in, you would have paid 600. Now we're talking, it's probably worth about 450. So it's lost a little bit of value as orange juice has crept a little higher. But the reality is this option has 88 days to expiration. It expires on October 20th, and you have theoretically unlimited profit potential. People always bust my chops for saying that you have unlimited profit potential on a put because commodity can only go to zero. So technically it's not unlimited, but I think we all learned a pretty good lesson a few years ago when oil went below zero that actually maybe it is unlimited. But when I say unlimited, what I'm saying is it can be really substantial. I mean, okay, maybe orange juice doesn't go to zero, but what if it goes to 100, which is 200 points below? By the way, if it did that, that would be $30,000. So if we're talking about an option that was purchased for $500-$600, I would say 30,000 is close enough to unlimited to use that word. In any case, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying orange juice has never been this high. The seasonal top is today, tomorrow, or maybe the day after. So it's like right now is the seasonal top. And you can see that these other OJ rallies didn't fare so well. They looked pretty good until they didn't. And then they rolled over pretty hard. And that's pretty indicative of how commodities trade. So I wouldn't be looking to pick a top by selling a futures up here. Again, there's a time and place for every strategy. Some markets might call for that, not orange juice, a market that's thinly traded. So you have to be really aware of the nature of your market, how the commodity normally acts, what the liquidity is like, and go from there. In this situation, it's limited risk and probably worth a stab. I don't usually suggest that people buy options. Usually we're doing some sort of spread. This is a spread that we put together in the E-mini S&P a couple of weeks ago. Again, I'm not making a recommendation. I'm just showing you things you can do with options. Options are magic. You can literally accomplish any goal with options. This strategy is what we call a risk reversal. So you could do this as a speculation, or you could do it as a portfolio hedge. So each E-mini S&P futures contract is worth roughly, I'm going to round here just for simplicity, roughly about $250,000 worth of stock. So if you have a portfolio that's sitting in roughly $250,000 worth of like S&P 500 type allocation, and you're a little nervous about the downside, you could put a trade like this on as a hedge, and it's going to basically give you free insurance against your portfolio under 4150. You can, I don't know if you can see my mouse, but this line here is 4150. That's, so if we purchase this put, we can pay for it by selling a 4800 call. So if you did this as a hedge, in your hedge account, but keep in mind, you're going to have two accounts, obviously your stock trading account, and then your futures account is a completely separate account. It might be with a commodity broker like us, or it might be with the same broker used for stocks. If it is with the same broker used for stocks, they call those broker dealers, that broker is still holding it in a separate account. So even though it looks like it's the same account when you log in, because you can see everything, it's actually behind the scenes a separate account. And so you would have to have money in your margin account to hold this position as a hedge, even though it's hedging your stock portfolio and reducing your overall risk in your portfolio, you're going to be required to have enough margin to hold that position. And let me just scroll down real quick and see, refresh my memory. Okay, so the margin on this is about 87.50, so we'll call it $9,000. So for $9,000 in margin, it's not costing you $9,000, but $9,000 in margin, you can have free insurance under 4150. So of course you could be more aggressive or less aggressive with your hedge, but this is a nice hedge. It basically protects you from something real crazy happening. Basically anything beyond a roughly 10% correction, you've got a floor. Most corrections are only 10%. So you don't want to be constantly buying puts to save yourself from a 10% or more correction, because it's going to be really, really expensive. In fact, if you run the numbers, anybody that just consistently buys puts over and over to protect their portfolio, let's say quarterly, they're probably burning anywhere from, depending on how high they're, what strike prices they're using and that sort of thing, they could be burning anywhere from 2 to 6% of their portfolio just protecting it. And as we know, I mean, the last couple of years have seen some really big stock market gains, but historically, like 8 to 10% a year is probably pretty good. And if that's the case and you're blowing 2 to 6% on your hedges, it's just not worth it. But if you do it this way, You're not blowing anything on your hedges. Your hedges are free. The only thing is you have to have 10, 11 grand in your option trading account to margin it. And you're giving up profits above this short call. So if the market rallies above 4,800, you're making money in your stock portfolio, you're losing money in your hedge account, and they kind of balance each other out. It's not the end of the world because you still gave yourself from, at the time of this trade, roughly 4,500 to 4,800. So you had a 300 point profit potential in additional gains in your portfolio. And above 4,800, you're still making dividends and all that kind of stuff. You're not triggering a taxable event. You're still in the market. You're still invested. But so what? You might give up a few percentage points up here. In the long run, if you did this consistently on rallies, I'm not saying you have this type of strategy on all the time, but if you did it on rallies, like up here, and of course, it's easier to say as you're going back in time. But what I'm trying to say is you don't want to do it here. You don't want to do it here. These are the types of hedges you put on when the market's overbought. Okay. So somebody is asking if this is 650 point correction. Yes, this would be a big correction. Like I said, I didn't do the math. I think it's about 8%, 9%, something like that. It seems impossible, but it's not. I mean, the last time we were trading up at these prices, we fell all the way back into the 3000s. I do not think that's going to happen again. But all I'm saying is if it does, and you have protection on, like this strategy would allow you to have, you'd be in pretty good shape. Now, if you're doing it as a speculation, that's okay too. The market doesn't have to get to 4150. The VIX is very low, or at least it was when we put this out, and it was as of yesterday. Today it's probably ticked up a little bit, but the VIX is low. And what that means is we're selling the call options at overpriced levels and we're buying puts at really cheap levels. So if the market corrects, and let's say it doesn't go to 4150, let's say it goes to 4300, which, to be honest, that's kind of what we have charted out. We think a correction would probably see 4300. And again, no crystal ball here, but that's our guess. If that happened, this 4150 put would gain a lot of value, even though we never get to 4150. And this 4800 call would lose most of its value. So this would be a really, really nice trade, even if we never got anywhere close to 4150, if you did it as a speculation. Now, this is how the math would work. Again, we're selling, it's called a risk reversal. We're selling the 4800 call, and we're using that money to buy the 4150 put. And you can see right here, these are just approximate prices, but you can see basically in a nutshell, the money we collect for the 4,800 is paying for the 4,150. It's a free trade. I think actually we collected a few dollars to cover commission and everything. So it's a little better than a free trade. And here are, these are October options, 94 days. So that gives us 3 months of time in the market without really spending any money. Now, I want to point out, it's my job to let you know what the risks are. So if you're doing this as a speculation and you put something like this on, and let's say the market does rally to 4,800. If you're trying to do this in a smaller account, you're going to run into margin calls. You're going, like, it could get, you could see really big paper losses before expiration. At expiration, like if you held all the way to expiration and you didn't have any margin trouble and you kept everything intact, you didn't panic. As long as the market's under 4,800, you basically just break even on the trade. So if we go up to 4,750, 4,800, and we're there at expiration, everything expires worthless, no harm, no foul. So all is well. If you're trying to squeeze this into, I just said the margin on this was 9 grand. If you're trying to squeeze this into a $10,000 account, then it might get hairy, because even though at expiration, you're probably going to be fine, before expiration, if we get a big rally up here to 4,700, somewhere in there, your call's going to gain in value, your put's going to lose in value, the paper drawdown will be a little bit painful. So for those people, if you have a smaller account, let's say 10,000 or less, maybe try this with the micros. And again, I'm not recommending, I'm just saying if you do something like this, there are micro options that are 1/10 the size of the E-mini S&P. And they are absolutely fabulous. So you're not going to get rich trading them, but they're a really, really great way to do this exact same thing, but on a much smaller scale. Now, I don't think we realize how lucky we are. I mean, those of us that have been in the business for as long as I have do, but micros are amazing because these types of strategies used to only be really available for people that had pretty big trading accounts. The e-mini S&P didn't even exist when I came in the business. It was just the big S&P, which was like $250 a point. So it's really great that the exchange has brought these strategies to smaller accounts. So we did something similar to that in soybeans. So you can do the exact same idea that we just talked about in the S&P in any commodity, really. But again, you want to do it when the commodity is on an upswing. This is November soybeans, and we have some farmers that we help hedge. So this is a really great hedging strategy for them, similar to the way it's a hedging strategy for the S&P. We have some speculators, obviously, also. And for them, this was a great way to get a foot in the door without having immediate risk. So you can see the November soybean futures have had trouble with this trend line. And actually, in the last couple of days, it's broken a little above that and then rolled back over. But you get my point. There is a pretty good chance that this line held. And it also happens to be a bit of a trend line here. So two trend lines come in right around the $13.80, $14 area. So if you want to play the downside, this is the place to give it a shot. And the idea was, anyone that's ever traded soybeans knows that beans can rally this time of year. Beans can rally uncontrollably. It can be fierce and it can be nasty to anyone that's on the wrong side. But these rallies are weather related usually, and they almost always fail. The seasonal top in soybeans is usually mid-July to late July. So we're right there. We're right in that time frame. But it's really messy. There's no easy money in this stuff, that's for sure. So what we suggested to our hedgers and our speculators is, maybe sell a 1540 call for November. That means we can be wrong by like $1.60, I think is what it was when we put this out. So we can be wrong by $1.60. And at expiration, we still won't really lose any money. We might lose a few bucks. Before expiration, it can get a little bit painful. Like I mentioned before, paper losses can add up because this call will gain in value. But if you have enough margin to hold to expiration, anything below 540 is no harm, no foul. So if we sell the 540 call and use that money to buy the 1260 put, we're talking about roughly a credit of about 150 bucks at the time of this email. To be honest, I think it's a little more than that now because beans have gotten up a little bit. I think you could probably get the same trade off for a credit of 10 to 15 cents, but you get the idea. And this also is, we're not going for massive delta on these types of trades. You could be a lot more aggressive. You could sell a 1450 call and buy a 1350 put or a 13 put, and you're going to have a much higher delta. That means if the market goes down, you're going to make a lot more money. But if the market goes up, you'll lose a lot more money quicker. So we opt to do this in a more comfortable way because, again, this is a mental game. And if you put yourself in situations where the odds are you're not going to be mentally stressed, you're already ahead of most people. The margin on a trade like this is about $1,400. This is it's kind of a deceiving risk. We had a lot of clients that were really excited about the fact that it's only $1,400 in margin, and they wanted to do a whole bunch of these because they could. The exchange would let them. But when you're selling calls to pay for long puts, you're not spending money. You're using the market's money to purchase your speculative put, but you are responsible for unlimited risk above the strike price of that call. So above 1540, losses are theoretically unlimited. So a margin of $1,400 can quickly go to $3,000, $4,000 if soybeans have a big rally. So you want to be really careful. And also, I'm going to note the CME, the way that they do their margining for most products and option spreads is they basically take what they think might be, and again, they also don't have a crystal ball, none of us do. They think what is the biggest one-day drawdown for that position. So if the margin's $1,400, the exchange thinks that you could lose $1,400 tomorrow if something goes horribly wrong. Now, usually those numbers are pretty good. It's pretty rare to see a trade like this draw down that much in one day. But there are rare occasions where the losses can well exceed the margin requirement. So it's just a rule of thumb, and it's a one-day scenario, not three-month scenario. When we recommended these options had 102 days, so we're talking like 3 months. And again, soybeans don't have to get to 1260. for this trade to make money. But if it does get to 1260 and we break through it, we could be looking at a pretty nice trade. When you do these sorts of trades, most of the risk is in the naked option, right? So what I try to advise people to do is, if you're going to do something like this, always worry about the risk more than the reward. So instead of focusing on how much you're going to make if we get to $11, focus on how you're going to feel if we go to 16. And with that in mind, be very diligent in buying that call option back. So let's say in this situation, this trader sold this option for 21 cents. If soybean sells off and gets down 13, 1250, somewhere in that range, let's say that option's only worth 5 cents. Buy it back. Don't think about it. Don't worry about the money you're spending. A lot of people try to focus on, well, if I buy that option back, that means I'm basically spending money I don't need to spend because that option's probably going to expire worthless. But truth is, you can never go wrong buying it back and taking a profit because you're taking the risk off the table. You're taking money off the table. If soybeans rally again, you have zero stress. In fact, you might even be comfortable reselling it and you might be able to double dip a couple times. So never try to nickel and dime the market. If it gives you a gift, take it. That's my advice. Of course, you can do whatever you want, but I've been doing this a long time and I've learned some really tough lessons. So someone's asking if you could add a call above the short option to reduce margins and cap your risk. And yes, you can. In a situation like the soybean trade we were just looking at, the margin's very low. So there's really no need to get that aggressive in reducing your margin because I think it probably just gets you into trouble more than anything. Because instead of doing one lots, you might be tempted to do 2, 3, or 4 lots. And if it goes wrong, you're in really deep trouble because those spreads, although buying that extra option to cap your risk, it does cap your risk, but it usually caps it to a really large amount. And so it's a little bit deceiving. So I honestly am not a huge fan of spreads for that reason, but it depends on the situation. This is basically the exact same strategy we talked about in soybeans and S&P. I'm going to kind of skip over it and we'll go to something a little bit different, but you can see it's the same general idea. Cattle, you probably don't know this, but cattle futures, and if you've shopped for beef in your grocery store, maybe you do know this. Beef prices are at an all-time high. We've never seen beef prices this high before. The last time we got up into this vicinity was 2011 and 2012. No, I take it back. 2014, 2015. And in those, that was like a year and a half of topping process. To me, the current market condition feels exactly like that. It feels like a repeat. And I think we probably will get a repeat of exactly that. What happened in 2015 is the market rolled over from all-time highs. At the point of rollover, the fundamentals, the supply demands were more, it was more bullish than it had ever been in the history of cattle. Like nobody thought cattle could go lower. And that's exactly when it topped out. And it took us almost a decade to get back to those prices. So maybe it doesn't take us a decade to get back up here, but I would be, I'm pretty comfortable in saying that we get a really, really big correction that could take some people by surprise. So let's see what happens. All right, let's go to, this is corn. So there are, actually, I should have mentioned this, but we actually put out a recommendation to do a risk reversal when corn was right here. I'm not saying we're perfect and we knew that exactly that was going to happen. In fact, I was kind of scared when I put it out, but it happened to work out like a charm. We sold a call and bought a put. But once we got down to the bottom of this trading range, you can see we're in a trading range. I mean, anyone can see that. Once it got down here, it looked really ugly. I was concerned that we would fall through the support and just keep going. So some of our clients were kind of, had a sugar high because the risk reversal on the downside worked out very well. They wanted to do a risk reversal on the upside. And as it turns out, that would have worked out just fine. But I kind of tried to talk them out of it because I was worried about this falling through the, basically, I don't know if you've ever traded corn enough to realize, but when it falls through support, fundamentals no longer matter. It's unfortunately there's a lot of farmers that maybe are unhedged and they're selling to save their farms. There's a lot of like algos that jump in the thinner overnight markets. There's a lot of CTAs that they just make a living trend trading. And so you get all this stuff pushing prices around to levels that has no business being at fundamentally, but it happens anyway. So you have to be really careful with some of these commodities. So in this situation, we recommended to just buy calls. Keep it simple. You can imagine when the market rallied sharply here in June, the call options got really, really expensive, insanely expensive. But this quick turnaround and collapse all the way to the bottom of the range in a couple of days wiped out all the call premium, and it resulted in a situation where the calls were insanely cheap. Off the top of my head, I think we're getting these for 7 cents. Let me see. Oh no, I'm sorry, not seven. I was going to say 17, 12 and a half cents. Wow. So these options were 12 and a half cents, which is like, first of all, they expire in 140 days on November 24th. And this recommendation was put out, I want to say July 5th. So we're talking almost a month ago, but I can tell you, with 140 days to go, $600 with unlimited profit potential and the markets at the bottom of the range. Honestly, I cannot believe they were priced that way. I just got done telling you that options are priced to lose, but these options were just, they were not priced to lose. they were mispriced in my opinion. So we put out an alert suggesting people purchase these. And I should also mention, not every trade goes as planned, obviously. I mean, the jury's still out on some of the trades that I've shown you already, like the S&P. We could very easily get run over if something out of the ordinary happens. So you just never know. But if you're putting your risk and your reward areas at reasonable levels that you're comfortable with, you're probably going to make good decisions if something goes wrong, and hopefully you can manage that. But in this situation, we're buying calls. The risk is what you pay for it. So these people were able to get into the market for $600 plus transaction costs, zero margin, and see what happens. I don't have a chart queued to show you what happened after this, but corn immediately rallied about a dollar. So these options did very, very well. Unfortunately, some clients got out much too early. In fact, I was advising them to get out early because it was kind of crazy, but others held on for the ride and made quite a bit of money. So you just never know. Be on the lookout for, and again, that's not the norm. That's the exception. I'm not saying that they always work out that way, but just always be on the lookout for a deflation situation in the options. If options go from really expensive to really cheap, especially call options and commodities, that's when you want to get interested in buying. Again, you notice we weren't buying 480 calls, 490 calls, because those were a little expensive. But you can get your foot in the door with 3 months in the market for $600. That's worthwhile. In that situation, it's worthwhile just buying an option with limited risk and letting it go. So around the same time, about a week later, I'm just looking at my notes. About a week later, we decided we liked the upside in soybeans. And so instead of doing a risk reversal, we did it a little bit different. This is basically a risk reversal, but we adjusted a little. We sold an extra call option. So we thought the market might have a good chance at holding support. There's a trend line here. And this is before all the crazy, whoops, I take it back. I apologize. This is treasury bonds. My fault. Thought I was on a different chart. So this is treasury. This is the 30-year treasury bond future. And at the time this was put out, and it was July 11th, it looks like, you can see the bonds had just gotten completely massacred for about a week, and we're sitting on support. So we thought, we don't mind being long treasuries at the time. And it's still somewhat the case, but not quite the case. At the time, according to the COT report, there were more speculators holding net short positions in the 10-year note than ever before. So our thought was, we're sitting on support. We like the fundamentals and treasuries anyway, and the whole world is short treasuries. So something had to give. So we were looking for a decent, at least at minimum, a pop out of here. And we did get the pop out of here. It's since rolled back over. So hopefully anyone that followed us on this was able to get out with a nice profit. They had opportunities too, but sometimes human nature gets involved. And I will say this, a lot of the option spreads that we do have 2-3 months to expiration. But if something goes our way within a couple of days or a week or 2 weeks, I advise people to take their money and run, because just because the market went our way initially doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. Things change so quickly. And more often than not, if you're taking money off the table, you're taking risk off the table, but you still have your main big idea for a particular market, usually you can get back in at better prices. So this market rallied pretty nicely after we got in, and now we are actually in a situation where we could probably get right back in from similar levels. Obviously, this chart's not updated, but we did see bonds rally up here and they kind of roll back down, and we're sitting right here now. So we're actually, we have our eye on this market. We'll probably do something very similar tomorrow. But here's the idea. So if we think a market's going higher, one way to play it is to buy a call option. The problem, which is buying a call option, is it's very expensive. We can see down here in this this screen below, if you bought the 125 call outright, it would cost you $3,000. That's how much each point's worth in treasuries. So instead of spending $3,000, we can sell a call above and a put below to bring in premium to pay for that. And it creates a situation where it's almost a free trade. So we've used the market's money to finance our long 125 call and treasury bonds. So in other words, we bought this option for free, but the opportunity cost is our profit potential is capped at 130. And our risk is unlimited below 120. If the market is between the long call and the short put at expiration, it's no harm, no foul. Everything expires worthless and we move on. If the market's above 130 at expiration, you make the maximum profit potential, which in this case is 5,000. If it's anywhere in between 125 and 130, you make something. In a trade like this, the maximum profit potential is $5,000. But if you can, like I said, if you can make $1,000 to $2,000 in a week or two, take it, move to the sidelines, regroup. You'll almost always get a better chance to get back in, or another chance to get back in, I should say. The margin on this trade is $4,100. And again, you have unlimited risk. So below 120, it's like being long a futures contract. You can see in this chart, we weren't just blindly selling premium just because we wanted to buy this call spread and we needed something to pay for it. But we want to make sure we're selling a put and putting our risk low enough that we aren't going to be in dire straits if something happens. Now, the bond market did trade as low as like 116 or so in October of last year. So that could have been a little bit painful if we got a repeat of that. But we're using the November options. Our thought process was if we do get that sort of a sell-off down to this level, we can probably roll out to the December contract and kind of buy ourselves some time and room for error. But luckily, we didn't have to do that. All right. So I've got a couple of questions I'm going to answer them real quick. Someone's asking, what are the signs to get out early? Honestly, if you make a quick dollar, get out early. It's that easy. There's no, I would say if you start getting to resistance areas, like we were getting up to this trend line here, if you're up against resistance, you have some money on the table, just get out. You can always get back in with something that makes a little more sense. And I mentioned already, this trade would have a profit potential of $5,000. But if to get that $5,000, you have to hold 3 months. You have to hold 109 days, and a lot can happen in these markets in 3 months. So if things have gone your way and you can pull out 1500 or whatever it is in a week, take it and run. That's not too bad. I'll talk about books in a minute, but I'm a little biased because I've written option books, but I'll show you which book I would suggest. So one more quick thing about treasuries. I just showed you an aggressive, this is a very aggressive trade because we're selling a put to pay for a call spread and we have unlimited risk. We don't do these sorts of aggressive trades unless we feel really strongly about the upside. A few weeks before this, we were fundamentally bullish treasuries, but we kind of knew things looked a little bit sketchy. So we weren't willing to take unlimited risk. So in that situation, what we did is kind of a nibble trade, a way to get in without having unlimited risk, is we use the 10-year note. 10-year note options are much, much cheaper than the 30-year bonds. So if you ever want to play the upside in treasuries, but you want small risk, limited risk, this is a good way to do it. We were able to get into 10-year note calls with about 2 months to expiration for $500 to $600. We did the 114 strike, but you could have done any of them. And you can see treasuries were coming up against some support and there was a decent chance they held, but I'm not perfect by any means. I make mistakes all the time, but I've been doing this long enough to know that sometimes things just don't feel right. And there was a lot of things in the market that made me feel a little uncomfortable. Some of the correlations were breaking down. And so I thought it was a lot smarter to just nibble on things. Also, I admittedly have a little bit of PTSD from like 2020 and 2022, all the chaos that's gone on in some in the oil markets and some of the other stuff. So we tend to, if we can keep it limited risk and have a foot in the door with a reasonable proposition, I'm perfectly okay with buying options. But again, you want to be cheap. You don't want to spend a ton of money. I wouldn't say go to the 30-year bond market and buy an at the money call, you know, that's going to cost you $3,000. Don't do that. But if you can get in for $500 or $600 on the 10-year note, not too bad at all. All right, so we're starting to run out of time. I'm just going to recap real quickly. So trading is a mental game in which market participants are competing against themselves as well as other traders. So make sure you are trading beyond, or I take that back. Make sure you're trading within your means. If you're trading beyond your means, just like in your household, if you're spending more money than you're bringing in, you're stressing yourself out, you're causing unnecessary tension. Don't do that in your trading either. Live below your means. It, trust me, you'll make much better decisions. And look, view options as building blocks. They can be built and taken apart piece by piece. I should have pointed this out, but I kind of mentioned it, but I wasn't very explicit with it. When you do an option spread, whether it's a risk reversal or whether you do something like we showed you in bonds where you buy a call spread and sell a put to pay for it, you can exit one of those legs and leave the others. So for example, if you're in the bond trade, I'm gonna go back real quick. If you're in this bond trade and you sell a put, you buy a call and you sell a call. So you want the market to go up. Let's say that the market does go up. You can start reducing your risk and taking profits by buying back the 120 put and holding the call spread. That way, once you buy back that 120 put, not only are you taking a profit, but you're eliminating the margin because there's no margin on this call spread. So now you have no margin. And if the market rolls back over, you risk losing some premium in the call spread, but you do not have unlimited risk below anymore. So the first step should always be to buy back your loose ends. If the market goes your way, buy back your loose ends. If you do a trade like this and the market goes against you immediately, you can also consider buying back your short call option, the one that you use to finance your long call. So let's say that the market would have dropped to 120, which obviously would not have been ideal. At that point, the November 130 call would probably be worth very little. We could buy that back and continue to hold the short put and continue to hold the long call. And it basically turns into a risk reversal where we're short a put, we're long a call. And then if the market rallies back, we can resell that 130 call. So there's no rules that says you have to be in and out of the entire spread at the same time. You can leg in, you can leg out, you can do whatever you want. It's your money, it's your risk. So always be thinking outside the box. Savvy and opportune adjustments along with some luck can revive trades that have gone wrong, or at least keep them alive, or more importantly, prevent you from losing your shirt. That's really the name of the game. You have to be in it to win it, and thinking outside of the box can go a long way towards keeping a foot in the door with an acceptable amount of risk. So somebody was asking about a commodity option book. I am extremely biased because I've written this book, but I do truly believe if you want to learn about trading commodity options, my book, which is called Trading Commodity Options with Creativity, covers just about anything you want to know. It starts from ground zero and it goes through all types of strategies, including the one that the handful that we went over today in painful detail, adjustments, exiting, entering, all that kind of good stuff were in there. It was endorsed by Jim Cramer. He's a very, Jim is a friend of mine. He's a really, really nice guy. I know people have opinions, but if they knew him, they would know what I know. And he's a really great guy. So this is my newest book. It's Trading Commodity Options with Creativity. You can go to the website, tradingcommodityoptions.com. There's sample chapters. You can kind of test drive it. You'll find it cheapest on Amazon. I think they have it listed for $18 or $19 or on Kindle for less than that. So Amazon's always the cheapest, unfortunately. And if you want to sign up for a free trial of our newsletters, if you haven't already, or if you just want to learn more about us or trading, you can find us at decarlytrading.com. And here's all my contact information. So be sure to send me an email or give me a call if there's anything that we can do for you. And again, you can follow us on social media. We'd love to see you there.